Book of Exodus chapter 14, and we'll read from verse 1 through to 18. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn in and camp before Parath-Hairoth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Bolsiphon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored unto Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, Why have ye done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them in camping by the sea beside Parath-Hairoth before Bolsiphon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. Behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thy hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor unto Pharaoh, and upon all his hosts, and upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. We know that God will bless the reading of his holy truth. Now we'll come again to our study, which is messages from Moses. And we've been looking at Moses down past the past few months. Remember, we began with him being born into a Hebrew home in Egypt when his parents hid him for 3 months. Because Pharaoh was out to slay all the boy children of the Hebrews. Then we saw how that his mother made an ark of bulrushes and hid him by the river side. And Pharaoh's daughter came along and found him. And she took him as her son. And for the first 40 years of his life, he was brought up in the palace in Egypt, and educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And then there came a point which was the most important day in the life of Moses, when Moses made a decision that had a bearing on the rest of his life. Because we read that there came a day when he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And that was a gigantic moment in the life of Moses. He decided to follow the Lord and to lead his people. And my God took Moses from that day and prepared him down in Midian to lead his people out of Egypt and bring them out of slavery. And we saw that in our last message here a few weeks ago when we looked at the Passover, that first Passover night when the destroying angel went through the land and slew the firstborn. But all those who had the blood applied to the doorposts and lintel of the door, my God's promise was, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And my, that was the last plague. And God brought that plague upon the land, and Pharaoh gave the command to let Israel go. So God has raised up this man Moses to lead his people. And as we come to this point in the story, God has brought them out of bondage and delivered them with a mighty hand. And once they were delivered out of bondage, we find God leading and directing his people as they begin their journey through the wilderness. Because that's what's next on the agenda. They're out of slavery now. They're out of bondage. They're heading for the promised land. And they have a wilderness journey to get from bondage to the land of promise. And in the last message we saw that God led them by the long route. There was two routes. There was the short route and there was the long route. But God led them by the long route. They never intended to go by the long way. They intended to get to the promised land as quickly as they could, but that just wasn't how God had planned it. And you remember how his presence went with them, with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And that pillar of cloud indicated his presence and his protection and how he provided for this people. And remember, when we're talking about the children of Israel, we're talking in the region of 2 to 3 million people traveling across the wilderness. And you know, friends, God saves us and delivers us out of bondage. And he goes before us to lead us in the way. That's what this second hymn has been saying to us here this morning. We have a shepherd. He goes before us to lead us in the way. And the Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans, reminded us that the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And of course, the things that were written aforetime is this story of Moses and all that happened with the children of Israel, so that we might learn through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And we want to look at Moses here this morning, leading under God the children of Israel, and we want to apply these lessons to our own Christian experience as we travel through the wilderness of this world today. That's where you and I are. We're strangers and pilgrims. We've been brought out of bondage and from under the slavery of Satan and from under the power of sin, and we're strangers, we're strangers and pilgrims, and we're heading to the land of promise, the land that is fairer than day. We haven't got there yet, but one day we will. But we're traveling through the wilderness. What can we learn from Moses and the children of Israel? Just as we go down the passage this morning, and that's the way we'll do it, want you to see in the first three verses the reality of the wilderness. The reality of the wilderness. God was leading them. And you see, friends, they were out of bondage now, and God turned them between two mountains, Parath-Harath and Baal-Zephon, and the Red Sea was before them. And then, as we read, Pharaoh decided to follow after them and retake them. And we find here the reality of the wilderness. The reality of life for these people was that they were hemmed in by problems and surrounded and faced with trials. When people experience God's salvation, if we think that all our problems are over, then we're greatly mistaken. Because the reality of life for the believer is that we go through this journey. As we go on this pilgrimage, there's problems, there's trials, there's an enemy, there's discouragement, there's failure, there's temptation, and there's many other things beside. That's the reality of life. The reality of life for the believer. It's never a plain path. Nobody gets a clear run. Nobody doesn't have to have a hill to climb or a valley to traverse. And God at times allows us to be hemmed in and surrounded by problems, just as these people were. Now, when Peter wrote his first epistle, he said, wherein now ye rejoice. He talked about all the blessings that they had in Christ. And he says, wherein in these ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. Now, he says, you're compassed that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. The thing is this, friends, that God knows all about each one of us as we travel each day on the journey of life. And God allows us to go through these things and face these things. It's a thing called the trial of your faith. And my, so it might come out of the fire as gold. We see here the reality of the wilderness. We see in this passage the enemy in the wilderness. Pharaoh and his forces followed after them. The people of God were being pursued. And Pharaoh is like the devil, you know. Peter not only talks about the trial of her faith, but later on in that first epistle, he talks about the adversary of the child of God. He says, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. He pursues us. He wants to come against us, to devour us, and to destroy us. I'm sure you've watched some of those nature programs on the television, with the wild animals. And my, what mighty things you can learn from nature and from the animal world. And we see the tiger or the lion, and you know it's looking for food, and it's hungry, and it has maybe five or six cubs that needs to be fed, and so it lies in wait, and it sees its prey, and it waits, and it waits, and it waits, and then at the opportune moment it strikes. That's just like the devil. The devil is a cunning foe, and he watches, and he waits, and he waits. Then when the opportune moment he comes, maybe when we're at a low ebb or in some point of weakness, he strikes. Dear friends, we're not long saved until we realize there's a real enemy out there. There's a real enemy. We're in a Christian warfare. We see the reality of the wilderness, and we see the enemy in the wilderness, and then we see here the sensitivity in the wilderness from verse 10 through to 12, because we find that in verse 11 they said unto Moses, because there's no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? My, we see here that the people weren't long out until they became discouraged. They became discouraged with the problems and the discouragements. And they became discouraged and afraid when they saw that Pharaoh and his chariots was following after them, and when they looked around and saw all these problems and difficulties, they got down under it. And they cried to God in their discouragement, and that was fine. That was fine. But they blamed Moses. They blamed Moses, the man whom God had sent to lead them. And you know, friends, as we travel through life, as the people of God, it's so easy to get down under it. It's so easy to become discouraged. Because remember that life's a battle. We're in a battle. And it's so easy to get discouraged and so easy to get down under it. My Elijah, the mighty prophet of God, that had done great things, that had stood alone before the king, who had contended on the mountain with the prophets of Baal, who had put them to flight, who had done great things for God. My Elijah got discouraged when Jezebel threatened to take his life. This man who had faced the king, and he had faced hundreds of prophets of Baal and the grove, he lies down under a juniper tree. He says, Lord, I've had enough. I've had enough. You know, friends, we all get there. We all get under the juniper tree at times. My, he became discouraged. My, we see the reality of the wilderness, and the enemy in the wilderness, and the sensitivity in the wilderness. But then, you know, we see the ministry in the wilderness. If you look at verse 13 and 14, it says this, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Moses ministered to these people in their discouragement. That's what these people needed. They needed a word from the Lord. And in his ministry, he was bringing comfort and encouragement and exhortation, and it's along those lines that we need to seek to minister to God's people, because God's people in these days, they need to be encouraged. They need to be encouraged and comforted and helped. And here we have a people who was filled with fear. And the first thing Moses said to them was this, fear not. Fear not. Their fear was about the immediate future. Yes. And yet Moses says, fear not. Why should they not fear when there were so many problems and enemies around them? Because probably if I'd have been there, I would have been afraid too. Dear friends, they should not fear because of the presence of God. Remember, the cloud was there. And every day they saw that pillar of cloud. And every night they saw that pillar of fire. And every time they saw it, it reminded them of the presence of God. The Lord was present. They should not fear because of the presence of God. My, they had no need to fear because of the promises of God. God had given them promises and promises to their forefathers, and they had no need to fear because of the power of God. They had seen the power of God a few days ago when God brought them out of Egypt, and they had no need to fear because of the plan of God and the protection of God. We all have our fears because we're human beings. Maybe your fears is about the immediate future at this very moment. Maybe your fears is about your family. Maybe your fears is about your health. Maybe your fears is about your loved one's salvation. And the word for you this morning is this: fear not. How often we find that two little words through the scriptures. Remember, God not only said to Moses, fear not, he said to Joshua, fear not, Joshua. Said to Elijah, fear not, Elijah. Said to Daniel, fear not, Daniel. Said to Paul, fear not, Paul. Stand still and see the salvation of God, or stand firm. Moses was exhorting the people not to run, not to give up, but to stand firm and wait on God for deliverance. God was bringing these people into a cul-de-sac, as it would seem, where there seemed no way through. There was mountains on either side of them. The sea was before them. The chariots were behind them, and they were afraid. There was no way through and no way out. And Moses says, fear not. See the salvation of God. He says, fear not, and God will make a way through for you. God will make a way through for you. So we see the reality of the wilderness and the enemy in the wilderness and the sensitivity in the wilderness and the ministry in the wilderness. And then we see the activity in the wilderness. Verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. That they go forward. Now, there's a word for all of us this morning. This was a word, the word of the Lord to his people through Moses. And the word was this: go forward. You're surrounded by problems. There's an enemy. He's pursuing you. There doesn't seem any way through. You're discouraged. You're afraid. And all the rest of it. What did God tell them to do? Go forward. Go forward. Probably a whole lot of them was thinking of going back. Maybe a whole lot more of them was thinking of trying to hide somewhere. Or to give up. God says, listen. Go forward. I want to tell you this morning, friends, that God never takes his people back. He always takes them forward. He never took his people back into Egypt. You find if you read your Old Testament that when Israel sinned and got away from God, that God punished them by taking them into captivity. He took some of them into Assyria, into captivity to punish them. He took some of them into Babylon there to punish them for 70 years in captivity. But he never at any time took them back into Egypt. And bless God this morning, I'll never be back in Egypt. I'll never be brought back into that place where I was before I came to Christ. Because salvation is an eternal salvation. My, he said, go forward, go forward. This is God's word to us today, to me and to you. Go forward. He wants us to go forward as a Christian. Are you going forward in your Christian life? Are you going forward in your relationship with the Lord, in your walk with him? Or are you going back? Or are you stuck? Dear friends, that's a word for all of us this morning. I need to look at myself, and you need to look at yourself, no matter who you are. Whether you're an elder or deacon, or whether you're the youngest member in this church, God says, go forward. Are you going forward? Are you standing still? Are you going back? As a Christian, we need to go forward. And let me tell you what's more. As a church, God says, go forward. Go forward. As a church, are we going forward? We're going forward. Are we standing still? Or are we going back and losing ground? Let's face up to realities. Sometimes it's hard, but sometimes it's the only answer. Yea, friends, how do we go forward? We face trials, we're surrounded by problems, we have to contend with the enemy. Well, we go forward with faith in God. That's what the word was. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. We go forward by faith in God. My, on the journey of life, we need faith to go forward. And we go forward in obedience to God. Because faith brings about obedience. We need to ask ourselves the question, am I going forward in my Christian life? If you're going forward, then you're going on with the Lord. There's maturity, there's growth, there's progress for all to see. Are we going on as a church? Am I ever going on? May we go forward in fellowship, in harmony? We go forward in unity of purpose. We go forward in prayer. Yes, in prayer, there's prayer meetings here convened in the church for people to come and pray. May we go forward by using our talents and using our gifts, whatever they may be. If it's musical gifts, may, or whatever kind of gifts, we need to be encouraged. They need to be given opportunity. But how can you give an opportunity if people won't exercise them? God wants us to go forward in spite of the trials and problems and difficulties. Have I gone back? Have I gone forward? We see the activity in the wilderness. Go forward. That's God's word today. That's what God's word was for his people. And there's no different today. Go forward. We see the reality in the wilderness. We see the enemy in the wilderness. The sensitivity in the wilderness. We see the ministry in the wilderness. We see the activity in the wilderness. And then we see the victory in the wilderness in verse 21 and 22. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on their left hand. My, the Lord gave the Israelites victory over the enemies. And we read in the passage that he brought them through on dry ground. Moses stretched out his rod, and a way was made. The waters banked up on either side, and they went through on dry ground. When the Egyptians tried to go through, the waters encompassed them, took off their chariots' wheels when they perished. He gave them victory. Dear friends, this morning, maybe you're surrounded by problems like the Israelites. Maybe you have no answer to your problems or difficulties. Maybe you're full of fear this morning. You know, as Moses led those people, there was a mountain on this side. There was a mountain on that side. The Red Sea was before them. The chariots with Pharaoh was behind them. But God made a way through for his people. God made a way through. Moses didn't make a way through. But God made a way through. Aaron didn't make a way through. But God made a way through. And they made a way through in a way that they never dreamed of, because he just divided the sea and took them across on dry ground. And you may see no answer to your problem this morning. You may see no way through, but I want to tell you that God can make a way through. And that's why we need to trust him. Now, as we go down the chapter, we see that God, what God is able to do for his people, the Lord shall fight for you in verse 14. By the pillar of cloud by day and the fire by night, he's able to guide us through the wilderness. The Lord leads the way through the wilderness, the little chorus says. All we need to do is follow. The Lord protects us. You remember how he moved the pillar of fire from going before Israel, and it came in behind them, between them and their enemies. My dear friends, Moses and the people were surrounded by problems. They were hemmed in by difficulties. And yet God opened up the Red Sea and made a way through. A message for the people of God this morning is, in spite of the wilderness and the enemy and everything else and the problems, the message is to go forward in our Christian life. To go forward. And as we go forward, to trust God and to obey him, and he can make a way through for his people. If you're surrounded this morning with problems and difficulties, may God make a way through for you. And may God open up the way and let you see it clearly, and let you know that he's in control and that he's sovereign over every situation. May the Lord challenge us this morning. That's what this word is. It's a word of challenge to all our hearts to go forward and to trust him and to obey him. Lord, we look around us in these days and we're discouraged, but we look up and we're encouraged. We thank you that thou art the one who's leading us through the wilderness. We praise you that thou art our guide. We pray that you'll help us, Lord, in the simplicity of faith to follow thee. And we know that thou wilt bring us home to the land that's fair than day. Help us in the wilderness journey. Remember those who leave us now. Remember others who wait around this table. May thy blessing be upon all such. For Christ's sake, amen.